Welcome to Creature Wars, the show where zoologists get fighty. First, let's have a run through of the rules. There are three rounds. In each round, the creature will have to face a scenario and try and survive it. Contestants, if you feel your creature is not up to the task, you can turn over your wild card. You can only do this once in the competition. At the end of each round, your creature will be judged. The judge's rule is final and...
I'm the judge!
Okay, let's introduce our guests. This week we have Imperial College's Minister for Extreme Views, Henry Benny. Henry, what creature will you be championing today?
Yeah, it's sand sharks.
Our next guest is the extremely talented and funny Emma Parkin. Emma, what creature are you championing today?
Today, Catherine, I am championing the pistol shrimp. Bang, bang.
Okay. And finally, we have sporty fresh, but also extremely clever, Aaron Shornack. Aaron... Which creature will you be championing today?
I, of course, will be championing the mighty, mighty tuna.
Okay. And on to the first scenario. Scenario. A misguided primary school teacher has chosen you as her class pet. How's that going to go? And the notes on this say points for it being funny rather than you surviving.
Let's let the guests who've not done the show before go first.
Yes, let's put them in that position.
Yeah,
Henry.
So that's great. So the sand shark is 3.2 metres long, and they grow up to 200 kilograms. I think the first issue a primary school teacher is going to have is, where the hell is she going to put it? She could use, if the primary school is very lavish, swimming pool.
I was about to say, it's not a private school with a swimming pool.
They do start off quite small, and they last for 7 years, which is like a good amount of time, so... Primary school lasts for 7 years, so you could watch one from birth to death as you go through primary school.
Yeah, I'm sure that
it'll give you some context for primary education.
I'm sure
it's
that
almost
death
over.
Won't be at all dramatic for the kids.
Yeah, true. You could have, but you could have seven. You could have one for each year, so we'd have a family of seven sharks.
Well, given recent government cuts to primary school funding, I suppose you're going to have to go with a private school.
You could feed some of the kids to the sharks, because then that would reduce the need for funding those education places.
Reduced class size.
Yeah, reduced class sizing.
Do you think the teacher would get fired after this?
No, because I think if we make it policy...
Henry living up to his name.
Right? If we make it policy, people will understand that some children, maybe the ones who are not doing so well...
No more detentions. You will be fed to the sand shark under the stairs.
I mean, that's a really good point. Really good for, like, disciplinary, like, action. We will send you to the sand sharks.
You could have it underneath the classroom and have, like, a little...
Trapdoor.
A little trapdoor.
Even better, a glass floor.
That
so the sense of dread is always there.
As I know, as a former primary school teacher, a sense of dread is key to learning. So,
I mean, it's the only way I ever learned anything.
Yeah.
Or respected anyone.
That sort of doesn't surprise me. Right. Okay. Let's have Aaron. What are you going to do? How are you going to survive and or create amusement in primary school?
Well, so... The sand shark may be 200 kilos, but the tuna can get up to 680 kilos. So the swimming pool is going to have to be, you know, a pretty big one. But for this, I think I'm going to take some inspiration from the finest documentary ever made, The Other Guys.
What's that about, Aaron?
Well, it's a long film about these two policemen, but the key part is the amazing story about how tuna can aggressively hunt lions on land by forming complex breathing apparatus out of kelp.
That is awesome.
That sounds highly accurate as well.
I've done all the fact checking. It all checks out.
It sounds like a zoologically interesting strategy.
Yeah, and so having that in a primary school, no, I think that's really dangerous. That's playing with fire.
Could be good for sports day.
Get them running faster.
I feel this is against the ethic of the game because I'm trying to win with sand sharks, but I guess if you run out of school provisions, you can eat the tuna as well.
That's
a lot. Right.
650 kilograms of tuna makes a lot of tuna mayonnaise rolls.
That's right. We once had one contestant try and convince us that salp was the new sushi, so I think you're doing all right there.
Yeah, okay, all right. Emma, it's up to you to blast this one out of the water because I think you're... We're all in the water today.
Okay. So mine, they need less space. The pistol shrimp, The pistol shrimp grow between the size of a grain of rice and about 3 centimetres. So they're quite small. They'd be a bit like having sea monkeys as a class pet. However, incredibly, incredibly more dangerous. They have a large asymmetric claw. So one half of their body is basically taken up by this huge claw, which is the length of half of their body. The other's a small pincer. And this huge claw they use is kind of a bit like a pistol gun. They kind of snap it shut and produce a small jet stream of boiling, bubbling, it's called like a cavitation bubble or something, of water, which when it implodes creates a huge acoustic pressure, making a sound like a gunshot. And also small amounts of light, although you can't really see them with the naked eye, as the bubble implodes. But anyway, they fire this kind of gunshot of boiling water because the pressure builds so much that you get to the surface of the sun temperatures. Yes, Catherine.
Have they been on Octonauts? Because I think I've seen them on Octonauts.
As someone who's not overly familiar with Octonauts and their particular scheduling, I don't know, but I wouldn't put it past them. And they're also kind of
I think they have. So, I think they have. I want one as a class pet.
So they're incredibly loud. They'll have a worldwide distribution. They are part of what makes up the most. They compete with, like, sperm whales for like the loudest noise in the ocean, which is incredible considering the sperm whale is huge and an individual pistol shrimp is absolutely tiny.
So they definitely have been on Octonauts.
So what you're proposing is tiny, incredibly noisy, incredibly dangerous sea ninjas.
Yes. Yes.
In a school.
Yes, in fact, I mean, the only major disadvantage would be that if they decided that they didn't want to be in the cage anymore, they could break, like, the power of this boiling jet of water can break glass and concrete and a lot of heavy, heavy rocks.
So, and children.
And probably children, although they have to be 4 centimetres away from them because that's the distance. I mean, proportionally, that's huge.
Can I ask a question? Yeah. What happens if one of the kids eats one of these shrimp?
What were you like in school, Aaron? Did you just go digging around in your fish tank to...
Have you not seen the neck nominated with the goldfish?
No, I haven't. I think that would be very cruel. Although, to be honest, they're quite small. And I feel like, depending on if they were squashed immediately, nothing would happen. If the shrimp knew it was being attacked, it would basically kind of blast off the mouth of this child. Some of them live in colonies. So one species lives in eusocial colonies. The others form symbiotic relationships with goby. So if you wanted a goby fish in there as well, it could be quite like a little mini aquarium. Others form monogamous pairs. So they're very beautiful. They're very interesting. So they'd be a good class pair unless they got really angry and decided that they'd had enough of being in the classroom and that they either wanted to commit suicide or that they were going to somehow jump into a neighbouring body of water by breaking out of the glass tank with their pistol.
Yeah, but there's no sense of dread. Even in the forest discipline. I mean, unless you could hold children's hands in the tank.
Yeah. Or I could position people over the tank and looking into the tank. Or if this is a really harsh classroom, you could just get them to stick their heads in the water. That's
like an update of the toilet flushing head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
So therefore, mine are just as dangerous and scary with as much dread, but take up less space.
How has this question become about how much your pet would hurt the kids?
Because Catherine said we have to be funny, and this is how we feel funny works, by massacring small children.
Oh my God. Right, Emma, you are on top form, on fire today. You definitely won that scenario. I'm convinced that actually it would be a great thing to have as a pet.
And they're colourful.
It's an excellent balance of like biologically interesting, dangerous and compact.
I think that also summarises me. I think that's a good description for me.
Oh my God. Yes, it is. That's going to be your new intro description.
Or even better, the first line of your CV.
Okay, and that's the end of that scenario. Okay, and on to the next scenario. Millennials have stopped paying attention to you.
Damn it.
How will you get them to look up from their phones and give you the respect you deserve?
Death!
And I think that one's going to go to Emma.
Okay. As we've already discussed, depending on what time you're tuning into this podcast, although presumably from the beginning, given it's a podcast, pistol shrimp have the amazing power to shoot predators / things they don't like with their large pistol claw, creating a lot of sound and also a lot of energy of different kinds. So firstly, we're very loud. We make up most of the noise in the ocean. So if you get, one pistol shrimp, hence the name, sounds like a gun going off. So that would probably be enough. One on its own would be enough to get them to at least go, what the heck was that? Who's been shot? And then also, they kind of produce a lot of heat From my experience, I'm a millennial, I can't cook very well. So something you could cook for me. So if you've got a colony of pistol shrimp to do your cooking, that would be quite cool. They do produce light, but it's not really in the visible spectrum. But I think just a chorus of pistol shrimp in some kind of a cappella rhythmic drumming pistol gun shot situation would be quite an eye-catching slash enough to get you to look up from your phone.
I quite like the idea of the restaurant, because that's how of like cooking your food in this like hipsterish
kind of way.
Millennial restaurant.
Yeah,
I think there's probably one in London already. It's sort of similar to like the fish that eat the dead skin off your feet.
Yes,
but like even better because they'll cook steak as well.
Would they end up cooking themselves then if they were like in the pot?
Oh yeah, the water would get pretty hot round about them if they had to continuously keep on doing it.
Oh, that is true. However, you could kind of like maybe they could somehow jump.
No. Even better, that would be like the second course. The thing that cooked your first course. That's even better.
It comes cold and it cooks itself on the table.
I am not sacrificing that much of my life for millennials, I'm sorry. They will, however, if you stick like a skewer in the water, they will cook your marshmallow for you. The idea is you have to have enough of you surviving that you get to the end of Creature Wars. Thus, I don't really want to kill my animals
But you could put your animals into some sort of like reproduction chamber.
Farm.
So just farm them. Well, we do it with cows, we do it with sheep,
like
do it with
chamber.
The only reason cows and sheep still exist mainly is because we've decided to farm them.
But the pistol shrimp has too much self-respect for that. They're global. They're amazing. Like, why would I want to cook this amazing animal? We'll cook other things for you.
Chickens are global, last time I checked.
But when did they have a claw that allowed them to sound like they were shooting people? I mean,
that's only because we've ground them off.
Anyway, so my point would be a hipster-esque restaurant with most of the time not cooking themselves. If it happens by accident, then fair enough, but we're going to try and cook other food. And also a chorus, a musical accompaniment of gunshots. We could also potentially recreate some kind of Westworld situation, which millennials seem to be into. So, historical reenactment is
going to be hard to talk in this restaurant with all those gunshots going on.
Historical reenactment, well, they're all on their phones anyway, it doesn't matter. So an historical reenactment with the pistol shrimp as well. Would be a potential theme park slash little stage show. So I think they're huge entertainment purposes for the pistol shrimps.
Okay, excellent. Right, let's go on. Who wants to go next?
I'll step up to this one.
Okay, go Aaron with the tuna.
The tuna resents that. We're an elegant species. I would probably go down the food route as well.
Are you going to feed yourselves the millennials?
Yeah, I am going to.
Where is your dignity?
Turn myself into
Where
sushi.
Where is your dignity?
Because I won't even have to get the millennials to look up from their Instagram feed.
But that's the point.
I'm already there.
That's the point.
I'm tuna and sushi, and everyone cares about it already. So.
But they don't that much. I mean, how many people like sushi?
Look, if
I like sushi.
Oh yeah, in the
although I'm not a millennial.
No, it's the millennials craze.
And the idea was to get them to look up from their phones, not continue to eat you whilst also still looking at their phone.
Yeah, maybe I like being eaten.
Okay, that's a really odd. That was a turn of events. I just think you've gone for a really odd route, and the way to get your attention to millennials is that you're just going to kill yourself. Like, I don't know. It's a bit emo. It's a bit MCR.
It's the pacifist way of doing things.
Yeah, I like it. Good argument. All right, Henry, what are you going to do?
So the sand sharks have been attacking this problem since 2011, when they first featured in the straight-to-DVD 2011 film titled Sand Sharks.
Is this a hipster film, Henry?
Well, what more do millennials love than weird, ridiculous horror films? Think of Sharknado.
Sushi,
but
marshmallows.
Yes, but what are they doing when they're eating those? They're watching Sharknado. They're watching Rubber, which is a story about a rubber tire killing people.
Thank you for clarifying, because in America they would have put a whole different meaning.
What about giant octopus versus mega shark?
Yep, see? People know about it. They know about these things. It's trending. It's a topic.
I use the word people loosely.
Millennials love weird, obscure horror films. It'll trend on Twitter for a few days. It'll come back. It'll be recurrent. It'll become a meme. They're already paying attention to us because
years into an impressive advertising campaign.
Yeah, I mean, I feel we may be a bit niche at the moment, but niche things come back and they are popular.
But that's the definition of niche, that they're not mainstream.
It's not cool to be mainstream. Millennials don't want to be mainstream. They don't want to be Generation X. They don't want to be Generation Y.
They are Generation Y. It's another name.
Oh, no! Well, they don't even want to be Generation Y. They don't even want to be millennials. They just want to be.
That's true.
Well, what happens when we're originally called Generation Y, and then all the other generations went, no, we can't give them a letter of the alphabet. They're too odd, and we don't want to associate with them. We'll call them millennials instead.
And we made the error of starting at X, which was the issue, I think.
We rapidly realised we were going to run out of letters.
I mean, maybe they just thought, well, we're actually going to kill ourselves before we get to Z, so it's fine.
I blame the baby boomers.
Yeah.
It's their fault.
Millennials
are great.
Should I give you a bit of a plot
synopsis? Us a little synopsis of the plot.
So we changed some of our biological functions to make this film even better. The film is called Sand Sharks. They are called sand sharks, but they don't live in sand dunes. So what's better than actually making them live under sand and attack people who are walking across sand dunes? So there's a film, Worms? Is it Worms? Which is a 19... I think it has Kevin Bacon in it. Maybe.
Oh, the bacon.
I totally made this up. Maybe it's not called Worms. But, like, it's in this, like, western town where people get sucked through the ground and eaten up by worms. That's great.
What's your point, Henry?
I was just telling you about sand sharks. Go buy it now.
Okay.
I want to do is watch this film, so it's worked on me.
Okay, well... it's a hard one. So we've got hipster restaurants, we've got and being the cook, we've got just being sushi.
Or a successful 6-year campaign. No, 7-year campaign now.
Okay.
Sand Shark franchise.
I'm gonna say that I think Emma should win again.
Yay!
On this one, because it's the most creative use of the biology of the animal.
Thank you very much.
Oh. We were creative with our biology. That's what
and
I'm saying.
That's is the end of that scenario. Okay, and on to the last scenario. Scenario, your creature's offspring have been entered into a 1950s-style bonniest baby competition. How will they fare? Henry.
I'll just jump in. I'll just give you the buzzword for the sand sharks, which is intrauterine cannibalism.
So that's not cute.
Yeah, perfectly cute. Well, it's nice.
Adorable.
Adorable, because it's really interesting.
What is it, Henry?
What is that? So with normal sharks, they normally have quite a few offspring. But in sand sharks, they have two uteruses, which have quite a lot of embryos to begin with. And then embryos develop teeth very early, which means they start to eat each other. And this was discovered because they couldn't work out why sand sharks really only gave birth to two sharks.
Because they give birth to live young, don't they?
Yeah, they give birth to live young, and there's only two of them. And they discovered this when somebody was dissecting a late pregnancy sand shark, and it bit the embryo or the baby shark. Essentially bit the person dissecting it.
Being that person? Oh my God, what the hell?
I
think familial cannibalism is one thing that's really been lacking in all of the baby contests I've watched.
It will secure that they are the strongest one. I mean, whether they are the bonniest one, I mean, that's a subjective question.
Yeah, so why do they do it, Henry? Why do they kill all their brothers and sisters?
Essentially... I don't know why. They're hungry.
Just for more food. Yeah.
More food. Lots of sand sharks were born with like full stomachs. And they thought, well, normally when fish and sharks are young in the uterus, they have like sacks of, like, I don't know what they call
like
it. Like a yolk sack. And they were like, well, these guys can't have yolk sacks if they're this far into gestation. So what else are they eating? Well, they're eating their weaker, feebler offspring until only one remains.
I guess evolutionary, it's also good for the parents as well, because then they invest less time in offspring that are weaker, that might have died in the wild anyway. So they invest most of their nutrition and energy in the few that have outcompeted already their siblings to survive.
Yeah. Word.
I have to say, I'm really glad that I wasn't judged on my merits when I was like a 3-month-old embryo.
Yeah, but you're going to judge your baby on its merits when it comes out, so you might as well start the process early and start weeding out the competition. So by the time it's getting to this 1950s style bonniest baby, it's already won like six of these competitions.
Do you think they look really good in a bonnet?
I mean, sand sharks, unlike hammerhead sharks, I think hammerhead sharks would have better facial structure.
I think they wouldn't fit in the bonnet.
Great cheekbones though.
Yeah.
Must
have a nice smile if their teeth are already developed.
True.
You can't see but it's a good smile.
The other thing, it would probably just eat your two competitors as well. So in terms of winning out, it would just win by default because it would have eaten.
It's a really excellent argument. I'm not sure how you're going to compete with that with your tuna.
So the tuna can be pretty small and cute if you get the right species. But I think to try and beat the sand shark, we're going to go with the wild card, which is a budgie.
Oh, well, that's really cute.
Budgies are pretty cute.
Do they have feathers when they hatch, or are they...
Are they a little scrawny,
scrawny and ugly, like?
They're probably a bit scrawny and ugly, but
initially,
I think that really adds to the cuteness.
Do bonniest baby competitions involve any talent portion, or is it just literally a baby in a high chair on stage?
My reference for this is having watched Call the Midwife, and it seemed like they just sort of walked around with them in the pram.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Okay. Well. Yeah, the budgie totally could be singing, which would be a great little talent. Might sort of serenade a few of the lovely ladies who are into boating. Also, I think I could do some good escaping from the sand shark, which is trying to viciously eat all the competitors, because I can fly. So,
can baby budgies fly?
But you can definitely at least like perch on something really.
And high. I guess it's less bonny to have your face smothered in blood of the other competitor. So if there's still one other competitor alive, I can see how they might win.
If you eat the pistol shrimp and then I am just tweeting away on a nice branch, I think I've got a really good shot.
But sand sharks do have one hunting technique that they can actually take air from above the water, and then they create extra buoyancy in the water so they can move virtuously motionless without moving, which means they can stealth attack the budgie.
If the budgie
is right next to... If it's sitting on the perch of the tank, because that's where you would display it.
I seem to be under this silly interpretation that this bunniest baby competition would be on land instead of underwater.
No, it's just in a tank inside a pram. and then the budgie's flying about, if it can even fly.
Are sand sharks?
Baby sand sharks. I don't have that information, but they're probably not going to be any longer than 30 centimetres. Let's go for that. Less than that, probably. So it's just that it's like one of those maybe toddler prams, or you've just got a really long baby pram, so they grow into it. Do you know, some of us have had kids here. There's some prams that are pretty...
For your giant baby.
Yeah, I mean...
Get your silver cross pram out.
Yeah. I mean, humans are quite large. I mean, yeah, sand sharks are almost equivalent to human size.
Right, so the pistol shrimp is going to step in.
Okay.
So, never mind the attacking prowess, because I think, to be honest, I could take you all down with the gunslinging, boiling water, bubbled, sonic, boom.
I'm going to go in. However, you've got an asymmetrical body with a mangled, massive claw on one side.
You haven't actually let me get to the point. So, basically, whilst they're pretty cool and they could take on all of you with their pistol, their reproductive stuff isn't particularly interesting. They either form monogamous pairs, or there's a couple of eusocial species, which is kind of interesting, but then all the babies are from one pair, so I'm going to use my wild card for this one, because I think that's most appropriate.
I was just going to say, well, if it is the 1950s and the baby was created from a monogamous pair of heteronormative parents, then they probably would win.
Right, so, so my wild card is the earthworm, which actually isn't terrible. Because
strong start there. Lots of faith in the earthworm.
So the earthworm
is not terrible.
So the earthworm can be kind of cute if you think of cartoon.
It's not that ugly.
Cartoon worms. They're kind of adorable. They have kind of a bit which could be like a little face, and they're very sensitive to light, so they'd be very alert on stage. They'd be like poking their head out of the pram, looking around, be like, look at me, I'm really cute.
For your talent, you could cut yourself in half and make two of you.
That would work too, so I can duplicate
myself.
But then
you'd be competing against another earthworm and might...
Well, it depends if we're in the same pram or not. I think twins would count as like the pair. So they're quite cute. They have a great ability to move through soil, so they could probably hide from the sand shark.
Greater than 80 degrees through soil. When has that been a criteria for a body as baby composition?
Well, it might be.
I have now had my hand raised for quite some time because we have failed to notice that earthworms are eaten by birds, and we have another bird. So this is just turning even further into my definition of what the bonniest baby competition should be. Which one is left standing?
The bonniest baby competition has become the Hunger Games, basically.
Yeah.
Okay, so in terms of predatory prowess, the earthworm is not up there. But in terms of cuteness, I think it would get the audience sympathy vote, and therefore they'd want to save it from the budgie and the shark.
Okay.
And that's my...
There's no saving you.
It was a really valiant argument, and I do like worms. But the bonniest baby competition seems to have turned into a battle royale kind of situation, and despite the fact that Henry's shark both ugly and vicious.
They're actually beautiful. If you have a look at them, they actually have brown markings in infancy that deteriorate.
Yeah, brown markings,
to
which is what I wanted.
So they look slightly speckled.
I love that you only now bring up the fact that they're beautiful.
Yeah.
After your long spiel about how vicious they are.
But they shimmer under the light in the tank. You know it's beautiful.
Well, if we're going for colours, the pistol shrimp is very vibrant. I know I chose the earthworm.
Oh, no. You've sold out on the pistol shrimp
just
now. You can't
calm it, guys. Calm it.
Sorry, we all really want this accolade.
I think I'm gonna have to let the sand shark win reluctantly, just because I'm frightened that it might eat me if I don't. So the sand shark wins on that occasion. It's won the battle, but it hasn't won the war. Emma is the winner this week of Creature Wars. So well done, Emma. And that's the end of this week's Creature Wars.